tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes, I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left.
From afar and ran to meet me. You reached out your arms and I cried out for mercy. You took this broken heart and beautifully fixed it.
village, every city's soaring tower. Empty people live in darkness, every minute, every hour. Hear the cry of desperation from a billion broken hearts. With a need so great, where do we even start? Let it start with me. Open up my eyes, fill my heart with your compassion. Free my mind from all distractions. Use my hands to set the captive free. Move my feet to follow after you, or change the world and let it start with me. The orders, there's a place for everyone. I don't want to miss my mission in the plan that you've begun. You've promised to go with me to the edges of it all. I change everything that keeps me from your call. Let it start with me. Free my mind from all distractions. Use my hands, set the captive free. Move my feet to follow after you, or change the world and let it start with me. Start with me. Open up my eyes, fill my heart with your compassion. Free my mind from all distractions. Use my hands, set the captive free. Move my feet to follow after you, or change the world and let it start. Free my mind from all distraction. Use my hands, set the captive free. Move my feet to follow after you, or change the world and let it start with me. Let it start with me.
Welcome, friends. I'm happy that you're tuned into the Hope Show this week. It's been a pleasure spending these 2 hours with you each Saturday for the last year or so, a little bit beyond that, but it's been a real pleasure. And I want to start out by saying that I hope all of you have had a great week, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Today's message is going to be Out with the Old and In with the New. I know this sounds like I'm going to be talking about New Year's Day with all those resolutions and all kinds of planning for the next year, new and improved you. And in part, this message is sort of along that topic, but it's not about the holiday itself. Do you remember when you were younger and you did all kinds of wild and crazy things? It was all in good fun back then, right? Some of those things I'm sure your parents didn't know about and maybe wouldn't have approved of had they have known about it. But you were living in the moment, searching for fun and adventure. You probably didn't think about the consequences of your actions too much back in those days. But for every action, there is a reaction or consequence. We have free will to choose our path, but that doesn't always mean we choose the right path or the best path for us. Sometimes we suffer because of our own poor decisions. Hopefully, as we grow up and we mature and we've survived those crazy olden days, and they don't hold the kind of appeal that they once did. Maybe you've lost all interest in your prior lifestyle and you've turned over a new leaf, changed course, transformed your life into something completely different. This is what I want to talk about today. Adulthood isn't that much different than childhood in many aspects. You have your parents in the very beginning. They hopefully have raised you in a loving environment and taught you the proper ways of the world, such as manners, morals, and value. I realize that there are many of you who were raised in dysfunctional families as well, and these children didn't experience the same childhood as the other children who were raised in healthy, loving environments. Perhaps they saw too much, suffered from such things as violence in the home, poverty, angry parents, addictions, a single-parent family, being made fun of or told that they were stupid or worthless. The list of dysfunction is vast. These children may grow up with a slew of emotional problems such as abandonment, addictions of their own, trouble building healthy relationships, being angry at the world or at their parents, walking through life having a chip on your shoulder. Perhaps you feel as if you hate your parents. Maybe you are holding on to a grudge from long ago. These children can suffer with such things as low self-esteem, feelings of worthlessness, and of no value. They can feel unimportant. They may have a lack of self-respect and self-confidence. They may grow up to be shy and withdrawn and have problems trusting people or getting too close to people. The number of psychological problems is just as complex and vast as well. You just never know what kind of impact childhood makes on each individual person as they grow into adulthood. But wait, there is more. There is another parent, our Heavenly Father. We are actually on loan to our fleshly parents. We are a gift to our earthly parents, but we are not theirs to keep. Our Heavenly Father created us with purpose, a destiny. Our childhood can make a tremendous impact on our lives when we get older. Let's just say, for example, you were born into a believing family. Then you have an excellent head start in life. You are more likely to have been raised knowing God from the moment you were born. It establishes a foundation for you. Your parents taught you all about your Heavenly Father. And if it wasn't force-fed in the wrong way, then you will grow up to love Him just as much as your earthly parents. You will grow up strong in your beliefs. However, that does not ensure smooth sailing throughout your entire life. Just because you were raised in a believing family, no, not by a long shot. There will be plenty of trials and tribulations throughout your life. They are tests. Life is a big test, folks. Sometimes you pass the test, and sometimes you fail. But guess what? God is in the retake business. If at first you don't succeed, then you get to try again and again until you get it right. Praise God that He doesn't give up on us. Think of how many chances He has given us throughout our lifetime. My goodness, I know I've had way more chances than I deserved. And praise God, He is in the retake business. I believe that being raised in a believing family is much easier in some aspects than being raised in a non-believing family. With a believing family, the foundation is set at the very early age. But just because you're raised in a believing family does not mean that God's children may not still stray away from Him. Sometimes permanently. Sometimes just for a season or even a life. Just maybe for a lifetime. Maybe for a season. A person may even stray away, then draw near, and then stray away again. Sometimes this pattern may repeat itself many times in our lifetime. Sometimes children who are raised in believing families feel as if they've had too much religion. When they were younger, maybe it consumed much of their time and it interfered with them just being able to have fun and be a kid. There are many reasons people stray away from God, but ultimately, I do believe that children of believers have a huge head start over the children that were raised in dysfunction or raised in an unbelieving home. I am a prime example of this, folks. Growing up, I had a Methodist-raised mother and a Baptist-raised father. By the time they married straight out of high school, they had had their fill of quote-unquote religion. But both of my parents were raised in wonderful, God-loving families. These two families spent a lot of time in church. Grandma on my dad's side played piano for church. My grandpa on my dad's side was a deacon. Though my mom didn't have parents that were quite as active within the church as my grandparents on my dad's side, church was still a very real and big part of their lives. By the time my brother and I were born, though, Mom and Dad had fallen away from their childhood roots. My brother and I didn't grow up going to church, and God wasn't talked about in our house. However, my parents did do an excellent job, I feel, of teaching my brother and I great character qualities such as manners and morals and values for everyday living. We grew up respecting our elders. We didn't talk back. We knew better than to talk back. We knew right from wrong. We had great respect for our parents. We just didn't know God. I shouldn't have used the phrase, just didn't know God, because that's a really big deal, folks. A really big deal. It's nothing to tamper with. Anyway, I was introduced to believers and a church when I was 16 years old. My childhood sweetheart came from a family where Dad was a pastor, and the large family grew up in a believing environment. I went to church with them each Sunday until I graduated high school, and later married my childhood sweetheart and moved away to start a life of our own. My husband was like my folks. He had had too much quote-unquote religion in his life, so we didn't attend church or speak about God either. After 8 years, my life took another turn. I found myself divorced and then remarried several years later into yet another believing family. Do you see how God works in mysterious ways for the good in our lives, folks? Do you see how that works? I just went from one believing family to another. It's just awesome. God is so good. Then I began to going to church again and picking up my Bible and having a relationship with God. I was baptized, and so was my daughter. We attended this church for 7 years, and then life took another twist for us. And once again, I found myself in a position where, again, I strayed away from my Heavenly Father for approximately another 13 years, folks. 13 years. I knew God. He was in my heart. But I'd strayed away. I let the things of the world draw me further and further away from Him. I became a single mom again, found myself in an abusive relationship and working 3 jobs to keep my daughter and I afloat. I worked every single weekend during this time. And Wednesday nights, I just felt like I was too tired. Honestly, I just didn't have a good excuse for not going on Wednesday evenings. But it is what it is, you know? Then more twists in my life led me back again, and I have stayed in a relationship with God for many years now. And it's the best thing. The best thing. I can't emphasize that enough, folks. It is the most amazing thing that has ever happened to me in my entire life. If I could live a life with all those twists and turns in it, then I know that you too can find a relationship with the Lord and keep it. But don't follow my example. I was stubborn. I walked around in the wilderness for what seems like, the Bible says, 40 years until I got my life straight. I sincerely hope that it will not take any of you as long as it did me to decide to follow Christ. The first half of my life was sporadic at best, but now I am in it for the long haul. But look at all the time I missed out on an intimate relationship with God. Think of all the wasted years that I could have been more productive with my life. But now, nothing can separate me from God. I have been redeemed. some of you out there have probably had similar things happen in your life. Each and every person has a story, folks. We all have a story to tell. The story or history of our life is very important. Don't ever discount how important your story is. No matter where life has taken you, no matter what mistakes you have made or how bad you think those mistakes are, never discredit how important your story can be to someone else. It can be a lifeline. It's as unique as you are, because God perfectly formed you to be, perfectly formed you to be a unique person. There is no other person in this big, giant world that is identical to you, body, mind, and soul. In Psalms, the Bible tells us, "For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully made and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depth of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were written every one of them the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them." Isn't that beautiful? It's amazing how large our God is. The Bible also tells us that, "Behold, children are a heritage of the Lord." Brothers and sisters, we did not choose God. Let me repeat that. We did not choose God. God chose us. There is far more to this world than people even know. There is far more even to us than we even know. The picture is so much greater than what we see in our own little tiny world. Even more so than our own God-given earthly parents. For you see, before we had our earthly parents, our Heavenly Father was always our number one Father. And He always will be. What will you decide? Will you decide to accept God into your life, or will you choose to deny Him of His parental rights? Folks, the decision is yours. But know that even if right now you are choosing to deny Him, you are still His child. He still loves you. He hasn't given up on you wanting to seek Him out, to have a relationship with you. He keeps knocking. Are you going to answer the door? He still loves you. He continues to hold out hope that His child will come back to Him. Imagine for a moment if you are a parent. If you are a parent, this should hit home. If not, then try to imagine being a parent. Let's say you have a child. You love him or her more than life itself. There's a strong bond the moment that him or her is born. It's undeniable. It's so strong. You want the very, very best for your child. You try to protect them from this big world. You try to steer them away from danger. You try to see that they get the very best of everything, the best education. You reprimand them when they are misbehaving because you want to teach them respect and manners. And you want them to grow up to be a healthy individual and get along well with other people. You try to shield them from being tormented by their peers. You try to give them opportunities to be involved in different activities to see what they like to do. And so on and so forth. But imagine, at some point, maybe in their teenage years, at some point, they become rebellious, and they no longer listen to you. They think they know everything, and that they don't have to listen to you anymore because they are teenagers. Maybe some of you are experiencing that right now. It hurts. It's discouraging. You learn that they are sneaking out at night, getting themselves into trouble. Perhaps you get a call from the local police station to come pick them up. They are foul-mouthing and disrespecting their authority figures like teachers and police officers and even you. Perhaps they really mess up and get kicked out of school, or they get caught dealing drugs, or fall into even more serious things. Perhaps their rebellion costs another person their life by drinking and driving, or just being careless in some other way. The list could go on and on forever, but you get the idea. Perhaps you didn't teach your children to behave this way, and yet they are. At some point, they grow up, they move out, and they start their own lives. Perhaps they are still being rebellious as adults. As a parent, you never, ever, ever give up on your children. You never give up wishing the very best for them and sleepless nights wondering what they are doing that they shouldn't be doing and praying for them to turn their life around. And as a parent, you never, ever stop loving them no matter what foolish choices that they make or how much trouble that they get into. There is always that parent-child bond. Once you become a parent, you will be a parent for the rest of your life, no matter how old you are, until your dying day. You don't stop worrying about them once they turn 18 and graduate. If anything, you worry more about them because they are probably no longer living with you and you can't monitor their comings and goings. You will always have that strong connection in some way to that child, even if you find yourself estranged with them. Now think about this. God is our ultimate Father. He is our number one Father. And He feels exactly the same way we feel when our children make poor choices and in some cases deny us as parents. You know, as an earthly parent, you know what kind of, if you are a parent, you know what kind of pain you would feel if this was your child behaving in this fashion. Now, imagine what kind of pain and grief we cause our Heavenly Father with our own choices, actions, behaviors, when we don't claim to even know Him. When we choose not to obey. When we disrespect Him and curse Him. I want you to ponder that for just a moment while I go on break. And I'll return in just a moment. If I can get the song up here. Give me a second, folks. Sorry about that.
My heart is captivated, Lord, by You alone. Captured by the awesomeness of You alone. Melted by the grace and mercy You have shown. The chains of sickness with authority, restoring what was broken, so it may fly again. I live to worship You, and I breathe to days. Your face
Welcome back to the Hope Show, everyone. If you are just tuning in to the Hope Show this morning, today's message is about out with the old and in with the new. What do you think that means? I've been talking about redemption. Remember when you were much younger and you used to do some wild and crazy things? Maybe you rebelled against your parents, got yourself into all kinds of mischief. Then you grew up and you became an adult. Perhaps you are still living a life of rebellion. We have two sets of parents. But ultimately, God is number one. He is our number one father. God created us in our earthly mother's womb, gifted us or loaned us out to our earthly parents. But we must never forget who our real father is, because without him, we wouldn't even exist. We were created with a purpose in mind for our life. Let me ask you, have you found your purpose right now? Have you found that purpose? Our biggest purpose is to share the word of truth to everybody far and wide. Get that word out there, get that truth out there to as many people all over the world as we possibly can. Reach out and help save people so that they may also enjoy eternal life with our Heavenly Father when He comes back for us. Another big purpose is to tell your story to other people in order to lead them to Christ with your own testimony. Every person has a history. Some are more colorful than others, but that doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. Not when we have been saved and are following Christ to the best of our current ability. God will work through you, folks, just where you are at in your life right now, at this moment, if you will only surrender yourself and allow Him to work in you. Everyone is at different stages in their walk with the Lord, and that's okay. God knows where you are at. Everything about your life has been pre-planned. Nothing is by coincidence. Nothing is by accident. God wants us to use our mess, our past, our lifeline, to tell others, to send a message, a testimony to others so that they may also glorify God. It says, look, I know. I understand where you're coming from. But look where I've been. And look how far God has brought me from the depths of my darkness. He has brought me out of that and now into the light. That, folks, is a powerful message to tell the world. That once I, too, was where you are now. And look at what God has done in my life. God is in the business of fixing broken things, folks. And He will fix your brokenness if you will ask Him to come into your life, to receive Him into your heart, to apply His ways, His truths into your life. Before the break, I was giving you an example of the bond between earthly parents and children. I asked everyone to imagine what God feels like when we rebel, knowing how awful we feel when our own children rebel against us. Sometimes you think you might as well be talking to the wall. You wonder where this attitude came from in your children, because that isn't how you raised your children. You wonder why your children make some of the foolish choices that they make. For every action, there is a reaction or a consequence. We all have free will, but just know that if you make a poor choice, you will suffer the consequence of your decision. It's hard to watch our children make some of these mistakes over and over again. Sometimes you wish you could just take on their burdens for them, to make their life a little easier. You don't want to see them suffer the consequences, and you want to spare them the pain that you know that they're going to suffer, because you've been on this earth longer and you've been there, done that. And you want to try to shelter your own children from stumbling on the path that you did. Yet that isn't how life works, folks. We all have lessons to learn. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are. There will always be more lessons to be learned until the day that God takes us home. Sometimes you can see ahead of time exactly what's going to happen if your children do this or that. But oftentimes, especially when they are adults, you find yourself helpless in preventing the consequences. If they don't want to listen, then they're not going to listen. Aren't we a lot like that too? Are we so much different than our own children? Are we not rebellious too? Think about how that makes God feel when we disobey, when we won't listen, when He loves us so much, but we don't return that love. Some going to the extent that they don't even acknowledge Him as their Father. God doesn't even exist in some of their lives. These people are called non-believers. Think how grieved that must make our Father feel when He was the first one, He was the one that first created us in our mother's womb. And yet some of His children don't even acknowledge that fact. Don't believe in Him. Turn away from Him. Cast Him out of their lives. If your own earthly child did this to you, wouldn't that hurt you? I know it would me. It would break my heart into 1,000 pieces. These are all just things to think about. It is never too late in your life to ask God to come into your life and receive Him fully. There is bad fruit in this world and there is good fruit. I ask you now, what kind of fruit are you bearing? It is something to consider. It's something worthy of thinking about and meditating on and praying about. Because folks, you certainly do not want to be on the wrong side when God comes back for us. The book of John has a lot to say about this. For those of you who were non-believers and now are a believer, think about how your life has changed for the good since your salvation, since your redemption, since you asked God, invited Him to come into your life. Think of where you've been and how far you've come, and praise God for that. Give Him all the glory from that. Think of the great transformation that has taken place in you. Can any one of you honestly say that you regret the day you decided to follow Jesus? I certainly can't. For those of you who have an intimate relationship with God now, you could probably never, ever, ever see yourself turning back to your old lifestyle after seeing what God has done with your life. How He has loved you and blessed you more than you could have ever imagined back in the old days. John 15:4 states, "Remain in Me, and I will remain in you. A branch cannot produce fruit alone, but must remain on the vine." Brothers and sisters, God wants us to be as close to us as a branch is to a vine. One is an extension of the other. It's impossible to tell where one starts and the other ends. The branch isn't only connected at the moment of bearing fruit. The gardener doesn't keep the branches separated from the vine until harvest day, and then decide to glue the branch back to the vine just before harvest. No, the branch is constantly connected, constantly drawing nutrition from the vine. And that is what God wants with us, to stay connected and draw nutrition from His Word. Doesn't that sound like a beautiful, divine plan? It's never out of our reach. We have free will. We must decide which life we will choose to live. God will not force Himself on us, ever. We have to make a personal decision whether we'll continue to live with, to entertain, to cater to our fleshly desires in the world, or if we will turn away from that old lifestyle and seek God with all of our heart and our soul. This is where the out with the old and in with the new comes into play. Which will it be? Ultimately, there is only one choice because you cannot serve two masters. You will either serve the world or you will serve God. And that decision is a personal decision that only you can make for yourself. In Colossians 1:16, the Bible tells us, "Through his power all things were made, things in heaven and on earth, things seen and unseen." Now I want to take a moment to read a passage that I found in one of my books. And I simply love this. So listen carefully, folks, because I think all of you will love this as well. It's called In the Eye of the Storm. So listen carefully. "With one decision, history began. Existence became measurable. Out of nothing came light. Out of light came day. Then came sky and earth. And on this earth, a mighty hand went to work. Canyons were carved. Oceans were dug. Mountains erupted out of flatlands. Stars were flung. A universe sparkled. Look to the canyons to see the Creator's splendor. Touch the flowers and see his delicacy. Listen to the thunder and hear his power. Today you will encounter God's creation. When you see the beauty around you, let each detail remind you to lift your head in praise and express your appreciation for God's creation. Encourage others to see the beauty of his creation too." What did I tell you? Wasn't that a great passage? My goodness, when I think about that, think about that for a moment. The stars were flung. The universe sparkled. Things that were unseen became seen. What an awesome God we have. In Isaiah 46:4, "Even when you're old, I will be the same. Even when your hair has turned gray, I will take care of you." Wow. What an amazing promise God has given us. So you see, no matter what season or chapter we are at in our life, no matter how old we get, or how long we've been wandering around in that wilderness, God remains constant. He is there for us today, tomorrow, and forever. You know, growing old can be dangerous in some ways. And let me explain to you what I mean by this. The trail is treacherous and the pitfalls are many. One is wise to be prepared. You know it's coming. It's not like God kept the process a secret from you. It's not like you're blazing a trail as you keep getting older. It's not as if no one has ever gotten old before. Look around you. There's elderly everywhere. And they were once your age right now. But time has taken its course on their life, and now they are considered old. Each of us have ample opportunity to prepare and ample time to study the process of aging so that we may consider what is yet to come. If growing old catches you by surprise, don't blame God, folks. He has given you plenty of warning and plenty of time to prepare. He also gave you plenty of advice. It's not God's fault if you chose not to listen or take heed. But your last chapters can be your best. Your final song can be your greatest. It could be that all of your life has prepared you for a grand exit. God's oldest have always been among his choicest. Here's something else to consider. If you think you are too far gone for help, if you think God is angry with you, if you think you've wasted too much time of your life living in and of the world, no matter what you do, no matter how far you fall, no matter how ugly you become, God has a relentless, undying, unfathomable, unquenchable love from which you cannot be separated, ever. If you turn your life over and you decide to follow Christ, you will experience all of His love, His grace, and His mercy, and all the blessings He wants you to have. I'm going to go ahead and take another quick break right now, and I hope you'll stay tuned for the rest of this message. There's a lot more to come, folks. So enjoy this break.
Separate. Even if I ran away, your love never failed. I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercy for me every day.
Together for my
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you're enjoying the Hope Show this morning, and I want to thank all of you for joining me today. If you are just tuning in to the Hope Show this morning, today's message has been about out with the old and in with the new. What does that mean? This is about non-believers trading in their old lifestyle to become a believer and a follower of Christ. Today's message is about the transformation that comes from that decision. In 1 John 3, I think it tells it the best. See how much the Father has loved you. His love is so great that we are called His children. And so, in fact, we are. This is why the world doesn't know us. It doesn't know God. My dear friends, we are now God's children, but it is not yet clear what we will become. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall like Him, because we will see Him as He really is. Everyone who has hope in Christ keeps himself pure, just as Christ is pure. Whoever sins is guilty of breaking God's law, because sin is the breaking of a law. You know that Christ appeared in order to take away our sins, and that there is no sin in Him. So everyone who lives in union with Christ does not continue to sin, does not continue their old ways, but whoever continues to sin has never seen Him or known Him. Let no one deceive you, my children. Whoever does what is right is righteous, just as Christ is righteous. Whoever continues to sin belongs to the devil, because the devil has sinned from the very beginning. The Son of God appeared for this very reason, to destroy what the devil has done. Those who are children of God do not continue to sin, for God's very nature is in them, and because God is their Father, they cannot continue to sin. Here is the clear difference between God's children and the devil's children. Those who do not do what is right or do not love others are not of God's children. John is pretty clear about that, folks. If you are a true follower of Christ, then when you invite God into your life, to come into your life, there is a transformation that starts in us. We want to take on the very nature of Christ, and we want to start to turn away from that old lifestyle that once held us bondage. The fleshly desires of the world cease to have as much control of us as they used to. We no longer want to do these things if we have truly accepted Christ into our lives. We don't want to do these things of the world anymore. We want to please God with all of our heart and our soul. Our focus then shifts, our desires then shift from the world to Christ and being more like Him. We want to please God and we want to bear good fruit. We stop thinking so much about what we want and start focusing on how can we be of service to others. Do not be surprised, folks, if people of the world begin to hate you. It will happen. You will most likely lose some friends, but your real friends will remain. You might have to make changes on who you associate with. Those that you hang out with the most is who you will become, who you will act like. So sometimes we need to gather around us people who are followers of Christ to encourage us and to keep us on that path. We need to resist temptation and find new, healthy, uplifting, loving friends that know God and will encourage you and love you no matter what. Brothers and sisters, Christ gave up His life for us to pay for all of our transgressions, to pay for all of our sins of our past, so that we might be reconciled with our Heavenly Father. Should we not also give up our own life for other people? If we are rich and see others in need, yet we close our eyes and our hearts against them, then how can we claim that we love God? Our love should not be just words and talk, or about being once a week Christians on Sunday. It must be true love, which shows itself through actions. We can all have victory over this world. This is how we know that we love all of God's children. It's by loving God and obeying all of His commands to the best of our ability. This is how we show our love to God. By obeying Him. His commands are not too hard for us. Because of being a child of God, we are able to defeat the world. Think about that. We win victory over the world by means of our faith. So who can defeat the world? Only the person or persons who believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that He died on the cross for you and I and was resurrected 3 days later to sit at the right hand of His rightful place at His Father's side. Folks, we need to clear up our lives and clear out the clutter, clean up the mess. But it's hard to do when we are too busy to listen. God never intended us to worry, to suffer anxiety, to have fear or doubt. He never created us to suffer chaos and turmoil in our lives. That was not the purpose for our being here. If you are experiencing all of these things on a daily basis, then you are working too hard to achieve your own goals. You're trying to do things on your own and without the help of God. Because these symptoms that you are experiencing are not of God. God is about love and joy and peace and faith and hope and happiness and grace and mercy and so much more. And if you turn over your entire life to Him, and you drop your burdens at His feet, and you don't pick them up, and you say, Lord, I can't do this by myself. Here it is. Here's my life. Here's my mess. Help me clean it up. God will answer prayers. This is not to say that when you decide to follow Christ, that it will all be smooth sailing from here on out. Because that's not how it works. There will always be trials and tribulations, but it's how you respond to them that is the deal breaker. God is love, and the absence of God is just flesh. Jesus came to earth to seek and to save the lost so that you and I could have an abundant life, so that we could be set free from the bondage of sin, so that we could be reconciled with our Father. Jesus came to earth to set the captives free, and those captives are us. That would be all of us. What are some of the causes of captivity in our lives? Here are a few things that I want to share with you. It could be an error that you have been taught from an early age, and we don't know any better. But it could also be because of evil habits that we have acquired through the years, such as lying and deception, or a fear of rejection, or sexual immorality, or drunkenness, emotional bondage, such as fear, guilt, worry, and anxiety, feelings that we can never do enough to please God, bitterness and unforgiveness. But what is the truth that will set us free from all of that bondage? The answer is our salvation, our spiritual position, where we are at spiritually in our walk with God right now, and our spiritual possessions. What truths or possessions do we hold on to so dearly in our heart? Our spirit. So how are we supposed to live our life free? The answer is this. We must believe, have faith that we can be free. And then we must respond to circumstances based on our salvation, based on our spiritual position and our spiritual possessions. Ask God for guidance. Pray about it. God answers prayers for those who have accepted Him into their lives and believe in Him with all of their heart and their soul. There is spiritual treasure in clay pots. Remember, we are the vessel, the clay pot. God, in His mercy, has given us this work to do, this purpose for our life. And He is with us every step of the way so that we do not become discouraged. When we become believers, we put aside all secret and shameful deeds, and we do not act with deceit, nor do we falsify the word of God. God knows what's in our heart. You can't hide anything from God. He knows what you're thinking in your deepest, darkest secret places. He knows. He knows what's on your mind. He knows what's in your heart. You can't hide anything from Him. There is no place in this world that you can hide from God. In the full light of truth, we live in God's sight and try to commend ourselves with good and clear conscience. If the gospel we preach is hidden, it is hidden only from those who are being lost. They do not believe because their minds have been kept in the dark by the devil. If the lost are staying lost, then something's wrong. We aren't doing our job. We aren't getting out there and preaching the gospel and telling the truth. The devil keeps them from seeing the light that is shining on them. The light that comes from the good news about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Once you were lost like this, but now you have been found. We are often troubled, but not crushed. Sometimes in doubt, but never in despair. There are many enemies that would like to see us fail, but we are never without a friend in Jesus. And though badly hurt at times, we are not destroyed. We need to live our lives by faith. We need to ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? For this reason, we should never stay discouraged for too long. Even though our physical beings are gradually decaying day by day, yet our spiritual bodies are being renewed day by day. The small and temporary trouble that we suffer now will bring us tremendous and eternal glory, much greater than any trouble we ever experience. For when we fix our attention not on the things seen, but on the things that are unseen, that's where our treasure will be. What can be seen only lasts for a short while, but what we cannot see lasts forever. If you're a believer, we know that when the tent we live in, our body here on earth, our vessel, is torn down, God will have a house in heaven for us to live in, a home He Himself has built for us, made for us, which will last forever. Praise God. Can I get an amen for that? Praise God. He is, when our vessel is torn down and it's the end of our days, God will have a house in heaven with our name on it forever. While we live in this earthly tent known as our bodies, we groan with a feeling of oppression. It is not that we want to get rid of our earthly body, but that we want what is in heaven, what is waiting for us. I'm going to go ahead and go to a quick break. I'm only going to play one song. And then Shaziz will be joining me for the last few minutes of my show. So please return after this short break. And here's the song I'm going to go ahead and play for you right now.
Lord of all creation, of water, earth.
earth and sky. The heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy.
Everybody, now joining me is Shaziz, and anybody who wants to call in at this time, feel free to do that and jump right in with us, and go to Shaziz's Skype address to call in. And so the radio lines are now open for anyone else who would like to join in with us. And Shaziz, what are your thoughts on today's message?
Well, one of the things that I think about the most is about, what does God mean to me, you know, personally? And, you know, I've come from a pretty rough background. I've been down a lot of rough roads. And to think that there would be any God out there, you know, a father who could actually love me after being a crazy child, teenager, on up into my young adults before I realized what was right and wrong. Well, I always knew the difference between right and wrong because I was raised properly. But to think that there would be anybody out there that could have that much love, to me, that's pretty amazing, you know. And I had a couple dreams where in these dreams I literally went to heaven and stood there in the presence of God. Now, to me, these dreams were a whole lot more than dreams. But there's no human words to express how much love that I felt in these dreams. It was just beyond all explanation. But to me, that's what God's all about, is love. You know, if you look out there in the world and everybody out there in the world, whatever your version of what you believe God to be, there's a dark side to the world, and there is definitely a bright side to the world. There's good, both good and evil. And my heart gravitates me towards love. And so as I read the stories in the Bible and I see all the things that's going on in the world and I match the two together, and I decide I want to try to form my life towards what Jesus taught and what God taught, it seems to have worked out really well for me. You know? It's better than the alternative, you know, feeding into the negativity of life or going out and doing somebody wrong or whatever, you know. I just, the power of love is just so extremely incredible, and there's no other way to explain it other than God. And whatever you believe God to be, my version of God is just that, love. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I have a relationship, personal relationship in my life with God, you know, and I just, to me, life is a miracle. It's a wonderful thing that I got to experience all this, even the bad stuff, you know. You know, people always say things like, you know, well, if God was so loving, why would he allow this or why would he allow that? Well, He didn't allow that, according to my book. I mean, he specifically said in there, "Thou shalt not kill." I agree with that. You know, you shouldn't kill. You're killing somebody. Somebody wants to kill you. There's no love in killing. And so, however it comes out, I can tell you from my own personal experience that the love that I feel from my God is to me, I'm glad I made it here to this point in my life. I'm glad that I can share my life with others. I don't have to ram my beliefs or views down anybody's throat. All I have to do is live by my beliefs, and my beliefs make me the man that I am today, you know? That's about the best way that I can explain it.
Well, that's a good way to explain it, honey. I mean, my life has changed tremendously, and you know, from growing up to not having that religious background or that religious foundation, you know, of God, and it, you know, it's a miracle, like you said, you know, that it's just so awesome how God works in your life in so many mysterious ways, and all the twists and the turns that a person's life takes. I mean, when I look at my life, it looks like this great big huge roller coaster with like dips and valleys and mountains and curves, and it's all over the map. But when I think of, you know, some of the things, you know, I haven't probably done some things that are as bad as other people, and yet I've probably done worse than some people too. And I'm probably right there in the middle somewhere. But when I think of all the bad choices that I made and some of the unlovable things that I did or said or whatever, and I look back at where I'm at right now, and I look back at my past, and it's amazing to me that God can forgive so much. You know, His grace and His mercy. You know, I don't deserve that grace and that mercy, and yet He gives it to me anyway. All I have to do is repent and say, "Father, I am so sorry. Please forgive me." And it's over with. It's a done deal.
You know, a family, a father, a good father, a real father, loves his children regardless, you know. Even at the worst of times, they have to be a strict disciplinarian, you know, to guide them in the right direction. But yet at the same time, just because a child was bad, that the father don't stop loving the child, you know. You don't
give up on them.
Yeah, you don't give up on them. And to me, that's what God represents, you know, the divine creation, the divine creator. You know, there's so much controversy in the world, so much war and hatred disrespect, and to me, if you're wanting to make this world a better place, I'm thinking the very first step is to find your way to God, to find your way to that divine entity, whatever you may call them, that divine entity that created all of creation, you know, like I said, there's an evil side to the world. You can't deny that. You can see it in the world. You know, when you look out into the world and you see that some baby is crying and starving or hungry, cold, whatever, you know, somebody's dying for what? You know, resources or because of a disagreement? You know, every time we lose somebody, we lose a great, huge piece of humanity, because everyone out there is so incredibly special, because in my belief, God didn't create any trash. He only made treasure. You know, you, the individual, are the treasure that came from the divine creation, regardless of how you figure that happened, you know. It's just from where I stand in my life, it's only common sense. But to some folks, you know, if there's no repercussions for any of my actions, if I can just do whatever I want and harm whoever I want, and you know, when I die, it's just that's that, you know. What kind of soul would you be to live your life with that kind of deal, that you could just take another life as if, you know, it wasn't significant? To, in my mind, only evil could do that, you know. And no war was ever fought out of love, you know.
I want to remind everybody right now that the radio lines are open. If somebody would like to call in and share their thoughts or give a testimony, or
we'd love to hear from anybody. Yeah, just call me up on Skype. We're using Shazia's on my Skype there, so just call me up on Skype and join us in and tell us what's on your mind. What it all means to you.
And you know? I know from my own personal experience. You know, long time ago when I was a lot younger, I was really stressed out. I was really high strung. I worried about everything. I made myself physically sick. You know, I tried to take all the burden on my shoulders, and it just didn't get me anywhere. You know, stress and all these things, they can wreak a lot of havoc on your body. You know, it can destroy your internal being, and it can really make a mess out of your health. And that's kind of where I was at years ago. And I was just like ping-ponging everywhere, you know. I was just so high-strung. But, you know, when I found the Lord, when I found my way back to the Lord, and I truly, truly gave my life to Him, not just fooling around back and forth ping-ponging, but when I totally gave my life to the Lord, made that decision, no turning back, I have found such a peace and a joy in my heart like no other, like I've never experienced before in my entire life. And I don't let things stress me out to the degree that they used to. I don't let things steal my joy like I used to. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm perfect or anything, because I am not. And I struggle just like every other person out there in the world. And I do get upset. I do stress out about things. And there are days that I get angry and so on. And I pray about that. And I give that over to the Lord. But overall, I would have to say that probably 90% of my life is so at peace, and it's, I have so much joy in my heart, and I praise God and give Him the glory for that every day, because I have come so far from 20 years ago.
Well, with all that said, it took me a long time when I finally realized, and found God, that it took me a long time to realize that the entire weight of the world isn't my cross to bear alone.
That's right.
And that I needed to hand that over to God, because, you know, at the end of the day, only God's going to make a difference on the world. But yet at the same time, we can't stop doing good works, because I believe that's what we were here to be, the caretakers of one another and the land and the animals, and to learn to live in unity with one another. And I honestly believe that we have the power, a gift from our Creator, to literally create a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. We have that power.
We can have victory over the world.
But
the Bible tells us how to do it.
We haven't we haven't come to the enlightenment across the globe with all individuals to put our differences aside and seek the truth together to find that unity without doing battle, you know, the non-believer versus the believer, the name brand religion against another name brand religion, to find the path to our divine creator, our heavenly father, you know. Is my book right? Is your book wrong? Or whatever, you know, it's a continuous battle that I feel is stirred by the dark side, the evil side of the world, to convince you to look away, you know, go away from the light. Don't pay attention to what's going on, you know. Like I said, when people say things such as, you know, if God was such a loving God, why would he allow terrible things to happen in the world? And that's all wrong. The world allows terrible things to happen to each other. We allow terrible things to happen to our brothers and sisters around the globe.
Because we have free will.
We got the power of the spoken word that we can actually speak out against evils of the world. We can stand united in masses. I mean, there's billions of people on the earth. And all of us that have a want, a drive, a need that comes from some source other than our own minds, that tells us that we have that power to make the world a better place, but we have to do this together, because one man can't bear the burden of that massive cross alone. You know, Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, he bore it. And he did it for a guy like me. How powerful is that?
And when you think of that, you know, of all the millions and billions of people on earth, Jesus bore each one of us. Not just you know, me or you or whomever. He bore the weight of the sin of everyone on this earth.
He carried the burden of the entire world.
Can you imagine how,
to give us a bridge,
how painful that was,
back to our creator?
Now that's a sacrifice. That is love.
He could have at any time said, no, I can't follow through with this, I can't take it, take me home, Father, you know. He couldn't do it, but he did it. He did it.
He knew that was the only way for reconciliation, for us, the bridge from us back to our Father.
And for those folks out there who are non-believers, if you just listen to that story in itself, and you just think about anybody in this world making an ultimate sacrifice such as that, giving their life for something that they had no fault in of their own, but to do that out of pure love, that to me is what God represents, pure love. You sacrificing the shirt off your back to warm your brother, even though you know that you're going to be cold. You know, you taking food off of your plate to put into another person's belly, even though that you know that you may still be hungry. And instead of you being selfish and taking it all for yourself, you shared it with your brothers and sisters, and you at that point became a good caretaker. And what I believe that our God intended for us to be, for one another, to take care of each other.
Well, when you think about it, you know, when you really think about it and you read the story of the Bible and of Jesus and what he done for us and all that, and the great suffering that he went through to be that bridge for us between where we're at and the Father, you know, when you think of the suffering that he bore for all of us, and then you think about yourself, you know, it's really a small price to pay, you know, to give something of yourself to someone else, you know. I mean, we live in an I world, but it's such a small price to pay to do for someone else in comparison to what Jesus did for us.
I believe wholeheartedly in my faith, my beliefs, my spiritual journey that I'm on. And even if it all turned out to be, you know, I was wrong, I still think that my best journey is the path that I'm on, and to try to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And so, with that said, you know, if I'm wrong in the end, I can go to wherever it is that we go from after here, knowing that I tried my best to make this world such a better place. I'm secure in my faith. I believe that there indeed is a God, and I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And I'm going to keep walking that path. As long as there's a breath in my body, that I can make this world a better place. One positive pebble at a time.
I hope that with my messages and with this Hope Show, I hope that everybody gets a message out of this, that there's something out there for each of you that really sinks into your heart. And I hope that that you out there who are kind of on the fence about believing or non-believing, I hope that, you know, that God speaks to you in a very special way, and that He stirs in your heart something, you know, that will help you to decide, you know, to follow Him. And that's what it's all about here on the Hope Show, is reaching as many people as we possibly can, you know, and loving everybody and encouraging people and giving people faith. And so I sure hope that everyone gets something, you know, or receives something very special out of these messages.
And it's kind of like the whole planting the seeds and finding and eventually seeing the fruits of your labor. You know, we talk about this on the Knights of the Round Table once in a while. You know, the person that plants that seed may not be the one who actually gets to enjoy the fruits of their labor. They may not ever see the first apple off of that tree, but the positivity that was put into that world, that apple tree will feed somebody down the line. And to me, that was the first step in being a good caretaker of the world and making the world a better place by providing for future generations. And together, regardless of your beliefs, you know, we can all agree that we want to make our world a better place. And from where I stand, I do mind. I make my world a better place and your world a better place, coming from my spiritual walk in life and my belief in my God and my Savior. And it works for me.
I know some of you might be thinking, you know, you're kind of on the fence about believing and non-believing and this and that. But I can speak from experience with this one. You know, whenever I was on that fence, you know, I thought, well, if I follow Christ, you know, I'm not going to have any fun in life whatsoever. You know, I'll have to stop partying, and I'll have to stop hanging out with my friends, and I'll have to stop doing this and this and this. And it's like, what do I have to gain out of this? My goodness, I'm having to, you know, lose all the fun stuff in my life. You know, I might have to change something. But you know what? Don't think of it as losing anything, because right now, your life is it's following a dead path. You know, it's going nowhere. And when you decide to follow God, you know, you gain so much more than you ever lose. You know, and fun doesn't stop just because you've decided to follow God. You know, there are lots of fun stuff to do.
You would be really surprised how much more enjoyable, how much more fun your life becomes whenever you actually find peace in your heart and can actually notice the small miracles of life. You know, the butterfly that lands on the beautiful flower, or the cool breeze that's on a, you know, warm summer day, you know, or the refreshing rain and the smell afterwards. You know, you get to think about, man, it's just amazing how this entire world functions.
Car window's down, sorry.
Oh, she's telling me the car window's down, so we're getting down to the wire anyway. Maybe next time somebody will be able to call in or something like that. But either way, we appreciate it and love all of y'all. And like she said, we hope something positive came out of this message. Peace and love to everybody.
I'm sorry about that interruption, but I'm having to leave here shortly, and I rolled down my windows because it was so hot out, and I hear it thundering in the background, and it's about to rain, so I apologize for that interruption, but anyhow, as that goes. But as Shaziz said, it's time to wrap up today's show, and I'm so thankful that all of you were here to join me today, that all of you tune in for my message every week. Actually, it's not even my message, it's God's message. You know, I couldn't do any of this without the Lord laying it upon my heart to say this to you guys. So it's not about me at all. I give all the credit and all the glory to God because, like I said, this isn't me. This is the Lord. I couldn't do this without Him. But, you know, I never thought I would be qualified to even do this show. And but God qualifies the unqualified. He equips us with what we need to do what He wants us to do, you know, the purpose. And so I'm really happy that all of you could join me, and I hope all of you have a great week. Is there anything that you want to say at the end?
Yeah, me lovely lady sent me out to roll up the windows in the car, and they're already rolled up, so me lovely lady has lost her mind.
I just didn't want a wet seat.
All right, well, you're fine, my love.
Thank you very much, my honey.
Anyway, thank you very much, everybody.
Okay, until next Saturday. Same time, same place. God bless each and every one of you, and I hope that you know with every ounce of your being that I love each and every one of you. And so I'm going to play us up out of here with a song called Redeemed.